I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the DGDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Good afternoon. Hello. Welcome. It is 95.7 The Game. I'm Matt Kolsky. Across from me, first time in a long time, the one and only Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky. What's up, man?
What's up, bro? Happy Saturday.
It's been way too long.
It really has.
Way too long. Ski team rides again, finally.
I am ready for your boogie takes. Not just you, Matt, but the entire Bay Area. Because that first dunk, I got a feeling. And I have a question for you. No, that's fine.
Yeah,
I got
up?
A feeling. I do love that song, too. Honest to God. Most powerful big man dunk since when for the Golden State Warriors?
Oh, no. Oh, I had it. Hold on. Wait.
Durant with a dribble. Guarded by Tobias Harris. Pick and roll with Cousins. Durant off that screen. Bounce pass Boogie. Look out. Right hand slam for Boogie Cousins. Welcome back.
Man, if I could paint a picture for the people, Joe was doing his thing. I stared him right in the eyes and I clicked the button to play that highlight and the thing was off. So it didn't play. it was an ugly moment for me. I regret nothing, though, because, yes, it was thrilling. Most powerful big. I think that's unfair. Damian Jones had some big ones.
Yeah, but does he have the veracity, the strength,
yeah,
the power of Boogie?
And maybe his. He doesn't grimace that way.
No.
He doesn't have the edge.
Or the weight.
Or the, I'll tell you what.
The girth.
Yeah. The moment I believed maybe all this hype about conditioning being the issue was the moment Boogie took off his warm-ups. And I was like, yeah, he's got a little ways to go to be game shape. Little ways. And coming back from an Achilles, no surprise, he's got a little ways to go from a movement perspective. This should shock no one. This is not something I'm worried about, but those are the facts. He went a long time where he could barely even do cardio, because an Achilles is just a brutal, debilitating injury. It's been a long road back, and it's just hard to get past a certain point of fitness without actually playing the game, and that was apparent.
Well, even Draymond, who was injured earlier this year, I think he had to work himself into shape. And it took a couple of weeks, and myself included, we were like, the demise of Draymond Green. And I greatly exaggerate like I usually do. And
we're over that.
Yeah, exactly.
We're past the
and he looks great.
Draymond looks great.
By the way, the two of them.
He's hot. Draymond's hot from the field.
Well, and with referees. But we got to come up with a better nickname than the Bash Bros, than the Tech Bros. We need a nickname for Boogie and Draymond. 888-957-9570. I want the Draymond,
I like that.
DeMarcus, I want the nickname. There's got to be some creative people in the Bay Area who can come up with a good nickname for these two.
We're going to get to all sorts of Boogie stuff today. Sam Esfandiari, Warriors World contributor, host of the Light Years podcast, should join us somewhere in the next 15 to 20 minutes. Oh, speaking of which, to follow up on our production conversation, producer Gabe, I texted you his information and just send him a text and we'll find out when he's ready. Then we'll have Robert Mays talking some football, one of my favorite football guys. Ooh, I have something for that, too.
Is that Chip?
I'm a football guy.
It is indeed. And he will join us at 2:20 to talk about the championship games, Gridiron Gala, station event down at Hooters in Campbell, California tomorrow. See you there, folks. O'Donnell Foyle joins us at 3:20, a big man to talk Big Boogie, and Dieter Kurtenbach, columnist at the Merck in the East Bay Times. We're going to talk to him about all sorts of stuff, including you have a pet baseball theory we're going to get into later today. But we start with Boogie for obvious reasons. And
Boogie! What is that drop?
That's Jalen Rose. That's what happens every time Boogie comes up on a show that Jalen Rose is a part of.
Gotcha.
Did you not know? It's one of my favorite things in the sports world is Jalen Rose screaming Boogie.
Okay. How have I not heard that?
I don't know. It's a good one.
Yeah.
I have several Boogie drops.
Get your Boogie on.
Oh, that's, come on, West Side Connection.
I'm ready for almost any Boogie situation.
I like that. Max Head. First rap song.
So we got a couple of suggestions. Keep them coming all day today. Nicknames for the new Warrior front court.
Yes.
Draymond and Boogie. Someone said to me last night while we were watching this game, how long do you think before Boogie and Draymond get in a fight? And I said, you know, and he didn't mean like a real fight. He meant, you know, a bit of a scrap.
Okay.
And I said, you know, I don't know. It probably will happen before the end of the year. But interestingly, I'd much rather they fight with each other than either of them fight with anyone else on the team. Like, they seem like that could be, because they both strike me as the guys where, like, they'll scream at each other, and then 10 minutes later, it's all good.
If they were a tag team, I mean, what would their monikers be? Like, seriously, because they could be a pretty funny, when it comes to characters and stomping down entrances and things like that, like, they would be quite entertaining from a WWE perspective.
A lot of double D references
coming
in on the text line right now. The Chilton Autobody text line 95795, the phone number 888-957-9570. But before we get to even more nicknames, and before we even get to the performance, which I think we definitely want to talk about, maybe my biggest takeaway, just walking away from the game, so to speak, was how I'm not sure I've seen a game, even a middle of the regular season game, feel so meaningless outside of that single storyline in a while. I mean, the Warriors play plenty of meh, not that meaningful regular season games, but the fact that, like, that game wasn't really over when Boogie fouled out. There were 8 or 9 minutes left. There was like 10 or 12 points at that point, I think. And everything, it just felt like an epilogue to the Boogie Cousins return. I wasn't even thinking about the game anymore after he left, and they weren't even really talking about it on the broadcast. No. They were just talking about Boogie, and a basketball game was played that was kind of in the balance for a while, but there was nothing to last night other than how does Boogie look? How is this going to work? Where are we headed?
Yeah. I really like the response of his teammates, energy-wise. I felt like they played with a lot of joy.
Yeah.
Spacing was there. Yes, they deferred, especially on the first possession where he kind of got tied up underneath the rim, and it didn't look so sexy. But I think we got the full DeMarcus experience, and we'll break it down, you know, later. But it was a little bit of everything. More than anything, though, maybe I underrated a few elements of his game, having not seen him so closely. He was giving me elements of the Bogut high pass. I mean, when he squares up and pivots and squares up to that backboard, he's a lethal passer.
This was my big thing coming into the Boogie return, was there's this idea of, well, you know, adjustment period, and there might be some issues for a while. And that's true. That's real. But people started talking about that as if it meant like the whole team would take a step back when he came back at first. And that's wrong. Yeah. Like, people, if that's what you thought, you forgot who this guy is. Yeah, his explosiveness is diminished. His fitness is not where it needs to be. He, on a few occasions, actually was in the right place, made a good defensive switch, and just couldn't move his feet fast enough to stay with guys. That stuff will come, whether by the end of the year or, you know, next year for Boogie, we'll see. But that stuff will slowly return. Chauncey talked about it a lot on the broadcast because he also had an Achilles injury.
I like Chauncey a lot.
He's great.
I really like him.
He's one of the better former player broadcasters we have. But all that stuff will be an adjustment period, and certain aspects of playing offense and defense with Boogie on the floor will require adjustments to be made over time. But he helps today.
Oh.
It's just a question of how long till he makes them the most unbeatable force in the history of the NBA. The question is not, well, might it get worse for a while? No, he's too good for that. Because all the things he does that have nothing to do with whether he's in perfect shape or at the peak of his athletic powers, he can just stand. He can, first of all, go anywhere he wants on the floor. He can move anybody, and he cannot be moved by anybody, which to your point, is something the Warriors haven't had since Andrew Bogut was healthy.
And even then, I would say his body was different than DeMarcus's. Not
different.
As wide.
Equally difficult to move.
Yes.
But also
yes.
Brought you a lot less from a scoring perspective. So in addition to the passing and screen setting that Bogut brought you, DeMarcus stretches the floor. And in fact, here's something from Steve Kerr about why DeMarcus kept being open.
You know, they were basically playing on the top side of Steph and Clay the whole game. So their big had to be dropped back into the paint to help on back cuts. And so, you know, that's one of the areas where DeMarcus can really help us is, you know, stepping out and giving us that spacing from the center position.
Did you see that they ran probably four or five in the second half, like circle plays for Clay, where he was coming off the block, coming up to the perimeter on the wing where Boogie was, and then circling down. And both defenders would drag down with Clay, leaving Boogie wide open. A couple times he shot the three. A couple other times he dribbled in or made the skip pass.
Yep.
He was making the right decision left and right. The other thing is, I didn't realize he is a good screen setter.
Oh, yeah.
He really is. And
the
guys
huge.
Were He is. And the guys were running off him really well. Off the screen, which is, you know, you want to come off that shoulder. The big takeaway, which was your first point, and it's something that stuck out to me in the first quarter, he is such a load on the offensive glass.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't had that kind of a guy in so long.
Well, load on the glass in general. And that's another thing I was saying. Another reason why he was absolutely going to help right away is just you look at what they had to go to at times against Steven Adams,
yes.
Clint Capella. And is Boogie the same super athletic, bouncy, you know, rebound star that Steven Adams or Clint Capella is? No.
No.
But he's their size.
Yeah.
He can rumble with them. He can put a body on them. And he is, historically, one of the best rebounders in the league. Always has been. I believe he was a top three rebounder when he got hurt last year. So all this stuff comes right away. And if the full explosiveness and the full fitness level and all that stuff comes, then forget about it.
Yeah.
But if the question is, does he help right now? Of course he does. And I think we saw that very clearly.
Oh, we definitely saw it. Montrezl Harrell is a guy that gives the Warriors fits. And there were times where Boogie just put his elbow into his chest. And Harrell, who's a big guy himself, went back 3-4 steps. I mean, Gortat is a monster. And he was having trouble down low with Boogie. Again, I keep asking this question because I don't want to discredit Bogut. I'm not, but they're different players and their size is different. Who have the Warriors had in our lifetime as big as this guy, as good as this guy,
well,
down low?
Nobody.
That's what I'm saying.
But when you say as good, as big and as good, there have only been a couple guys in the league as big and as good as DeMarcus Cousins over our lifetime. So it really is exciting. Last night was a nice little taste of it. We'll talk about it with Sam Esfandiari. You know him from Warriors World and the Light Years podcast and Twitter, for that matter. He'll join us in about 10 minutes. Also take a couple of your calls on good nicknames for the front court pair of Boogie and Draymond. There's one on the text line that I like very much that I will share with you right after this. Matt Kolsky, Joe Shasky, Ski Team is back on 95.7 The Game.
Cousins, right side. They give him a three again, won't shoot it. Throws it back to Draymond. Cousins got a giggle look on his face. Now steps out, catches, and fires again. Three ball, DeMarcus Cousins. And it's now 87-72. Cousins is 3 of 4 from three. He's the Warriors' best three-point shooter of the night.
Now back to Kolsky and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
You heard it. DeMarcus Cousins is the Warriors' best three-point shooter.
Ridiculous!
3 for 4 is a heck of a good start. The sort of stuff that happens in the post-game of a game like this is very silly. Like, because he was 3 for 4, someone was like, so, DeMarcus, seems like your three-point shot's better than it's ever been. And he's like, I don't know, man. I played for 15 minutes.
It's the coach factor, though. You know, like when you go up against your coach and horse, because they don't get aerial anymore, because they don't dribble a lot, they're going to hit from all over the court. And that's what Boogie's been doing since he hasn't been able to run.
The dad jumper.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Before we go to Sam Esfandiari, a couple of phone calls on nicknames for the new front court. I really liked, but Joe kind of poo-pooed in the break. A 310 texter went with Run FRE.
Not bad. I'm coming around on that.
I dug it.
Yeah.
I dug it. And it looks like Gabe did, too, since he texted the texter back. Let's go to DB in Mountain View. What's our nickname for the new front court pair of Boogie and Draymond?
Well, you got your – thanks for taking my call. Well, you've got the Splash Brothers. Why not the Gash Brothers or the Smash Brothers?
Okay. I see. Now, Smash Brothers is more physically appropriate.
Yes. Video game-like, too.
Uh-huh. I like the video game reference. Gash Brothers is almost cooler, but I don't know that it applies.
Yeah.
I think when I think Gash, I think of like a slasher player, like a wing.
Corey Brewer.
Gasha. Kevin Durant will gasha, you know? Draymond and DeMarcus will more bludgeon you to death. Let's go to Legend Larry, a self-applied legend. What's up, Larry?
Yo, what's up? It's Legend Gary. Legend Larry. I'm not mad. Shout out to Matt. Shout out to Butcher Boy. Love what you do over there. No doubt. I'm just going to say, I'm going to go with the Blues Brothers, like the Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi thing. Like, you didn't even know he was coming, but they're carrying a briefcase full of blues for you. And that's just the move. Like, you had no idea, and that's over for you. It's just the blues.
I like that a lot. I'm thinking like the Reservoir Dogs or something like that. Like, you got me thinking about great movies where guys are in suits and they're like hitmen. I like that.
We're on a mission from God. Thank you, Legend Larry. Speaking of legends, we now go.
Pulp Fiction?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I derailed us already.
It's Jules and what's the, Vincent?
Yeah, who are the?
Jules and Vincent, I think, right? Vincent Vega. And Jules. I think he's Jules. Our next guest probably knows the answer to this. Sam Esfandiari, the Warriors World contributor, Twitter legend, Light Years podcast host. I found out something about Sam from a totally disconnected source today. Sam, did I hear that it's possible you will be appearing in a future NBA video game?
No comment.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll just keep that a mystery for now.
Get me involved somehow. What's
that
going
a mystery
on here?
I don't know. Yeah, I heard a rumor.
I got to negotiate Chasky before we go.
Absolutely. You got to have one lunatic on there.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. We'll put that aside.
Lunatic.
Balance it out.
All right. So here's what I want to know. First of all, is it in fact Jules, do you know, in Pulp Fiction, to Sam Jackson's character?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm as hazy on remembering character names as it sounds like you guys are. Like, I can remember quotes, I can remember the movie and everything, but I have a hard time remembering the character name.
All right, we're going with Jules. So Jules and Vince, another alternate nickname for the Boogie and Draymond front court. Do you have any entries for our nickname contest, Sam?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I was trying to go comic book villains, and I haven't quite arrived at the right one. Like, you've seen online the whole Thanos, like, with the five Infinity Stones.
Yes.
It's starting lineup. I like that one for now. I got to think about it a little more, though.
Okay. All right. We'll revisit that another time. Let's just start with initial reactions. How do you feel like the debut went? Is it more or less what you expected? Did you like the way it looked? How are we feeling about Boogie?
It went, you know, I didn't really know what to expect other than they were going to force feed him to start the game because that's what they do. And it went as well as I would hope it would. He was a little rusty on certain things. Other things, you saw exactly how he could affect the game, you know, just like moving bodies with rebounds, hitting shots from the outside. I mean, I think he's the first Warrior big man who could hit a three since most Bates. The passing. You know, it was all around positive in my opinion, but it's clear, you know, he hasn't played in a year, the Achilles, he's still working back from it. So, you know, there's going to be a little, you know, a few weeks, months of getting the rust off.
You know, when we think of Warrior big man throughout the years, Bogut comes to mind as far as strength. I don't necessarily equate Chris Webber with strength. He was more finesse and stuff. I mean, is there anybody in our lifetime who has been the center or power forward for the Warriors who has been this strong, this big, this girthy as DeMarcus is?
I mean, I don't think any of us were alive for Nate Thurman, much less Wilt Chamberlain. So I'm going to go ahead and say no. You know, going through Warrior big men of the last like 30 to 35 years, it's not the most impressive list. So I'm going to go ahead and say, you know, outside of Bogut, I like that in terms of the passing and just the sheer strength and physical presence. But obviously, Boogie has just so much more offensive game than that.
So one thing I think we saw last night is the nature of the Warriors' offense is such that they've kind of been waiting. I guess anybody would be waiting for someone of Boogie's skills. But in particular for them, it opens things up significantly more. And Boogie ended up, frankly, wide open a lot of the time. And if it wasn't him wide open, it's going to be someone who shoots the ball even better. In your mind, is this just all uphill from here? Do you think the offense just is pretty seamless? Because from what I saw, even with, and we mentioned this before you came on, that, you know, there are certain things you can tell. He's rusty. But they were, that was as functional as I could have imagined. That there did not look to be a big adjustment offensively from what we saw last night.
Yeah, I mean, from a team perspective, that looked as good as I could have possibly hoped the debut would. Save, you know, they just weren't hitting threes, but you know, it's going to happen every now and then. It wasn't like they were bad shots or anything.
No.
But I do think we're probably going to be in for some ups and downs over the second half of the year. At this point, he was kind of playing a controlled, let's get my feet under me game. I feel like at some point he's going to try to expand his game and do some of the stuff he used to do with the Kings and the Pelicans, which he should. I mean, he's an all-star. He's a great player. And that'll be where the real adjustment comes because, you know, if they go to Boogie 8 possessions in a row, that's 8 possessions. Steph or KD is not touching the ball. So at this point, it's kind of like he's just kind of he's going at like 50% of what he can do and fitting in, and that seems seamless. Once he feels fully back, I feel like that's where they're really going to have to start working on kind of the rhythm thing and how they all play off of each other. Because the reality is they're all guys who are used to being first option, scoring 30 points, and just kind of being the man.
Sam, I feel like quietly Steph and KD are putting together one of the greatest duo seasons of all time. Now, you got Steph right now at 29.8 points a game. He's second in the league in scoring. And Kevin Durant is 28.1, fourth in the league in scoring. We always go back to Shaq and Kobe. I know there's been other pairings, Jordan and Pippen, and you can go throughout the annals of history. But for me, in my money, this feels like the most potent offensive duo I've ever seen.
I mean, I'd agree with you. I looked it up, and at least before going back to like the NBA and the, you know, 70s and all that stuff, the only time you had a duo that two guys were averaging over 28 points a game was, I think, Shaq and Kobe did it once. But Steph and KD are doing it more efficiently than they did. You know, they were kind of, it was kind of those two and a bunch of defensive guys, and they took a bunch of shots. These guys are doing it while getting Klay 20 points a game, while kind of moving the ball, doing it on 15 to 20 shots. I would agree with you. It's pretty much the most potent offensive duo I can think of. If anything, sometimes I feel like Warrior fans are left wanting more from them because it feels like it's so easy for them at all times. Like, why don't they both get 40 in a game all the time, you know?
Our guest is Sam Esfandiari, Warriors World contributor, host of the Light Years podcast, along with our friend Andy Liu. And a lot of talk in the weeks leading up to the return of DeMarcus Cousins about all the big help the Warriors would need. Robin Lopez, a favored center of that sort of hypey story. Now, obviously, we're feeling pretty good after last night, but I do wonder, just that as we're heading down the stretch here, if you think this is the Warriors roster that goes into the playoffs, or do you think... And obviously, part of this depends on how Boogie works out, but ultimately, he's probably not going to end up playing more than 20 or 25 minutes a game. Do you think they still need another big, or is this what we're going to see?
I think they could use another big for insurance purposes, just from the standpoint of he is coming off of a major injury. But if you could promise me he'd stay healthy and, you know, you could get 20 to 25 minutes a game out of him for the remainder of the year, I would say they don't need anything. Like, him and Looney are a pretty good 1-2 punch. They do completely different things. But, you know, if he's healthy, those two are going to eat up all your center minutes, plus obviously Draymond going small. I think the need for another big man is pure insurance because
If Boogie has a setback or has to miss a few weeks because of a setback, then they're back in that situation where they have Looney and Jordan Bell, neither of which are really even setters. So you would kind of like to pick up a guy just for safety, just in case you have to go 3 weeks without Boogie because of some setback.
Sam, you know, I'm obligated to ask you about LeBron James. He got hurt against the Warriors Christmas night, and I'm of the belief that this is his first major injury, and I feel like he's on the wrong side of Father Time here, and I don't think that this is going to get better for him. Do we see him return against the Warriors on Monday? And if he does return, I mean, is he just going to be the same old LeBron we've seen in years past, or you think that they're going to take it a little more cautious down the stretch?
I don't think we're going to see him Monday. I think Luke said as much today. Now, granted, if LeBron says he's playing, I don't think anyone's stopping him. But I'm actually of the opposite opinion. I have to see him go through a prolonged decline where it's like one injury after another before I buy that we're really seeing the physical decline of LeBron James. I do think he'll probably be back for that next Warriors game, which I think is in 2 weeks at Oracle. It's a Saturday night game. I think they're being cautious. It's been kind of his MO in the regular season, too. He's avoided injury, but he's kind of been, I'm going to try to exert as little energy as possible for these January, February games so I have as much left in the tank for the playoffs as possible. The real question is if the Lakers can win enough to get by with him doing that.
All right, Sam, before we let you go, this is my general halfway point. Now that we've seen the Boogie version, what are we thinking question? They blew out the Nuggets without this guy. I'm not sure I ever really thought that the Nuggets presented the biggest potential challenge to the Warriors, and I think I would imagine you more or less agree with me that if things go as I expect, there is really not much of a potential challenge. But based on what we saw last night, is there a team, whether it's one of the other top Western Conference teams or maybe, the Bucks or Raptors, I guess, that to you looks like they even have a chance of putting up a fight against what we saw last night?
I would definitely say the top teams in the East are probably the bigger threat. It's like the first time in a while, I would say three of the five best teams in the NBA are in the East. Usually it's like one and all the next four are all in the West. But on the West side, I would still take the Lakers seriously with LeBron because LeBron just covers up so many holes and does so many things to help a team. If he's healthy, they're going to be a pain no matter what. And maybe Houston. Okay. Let's see what they look like when Chris Paul and Capella come back. I mean, ultimately,
you like Kenneth Faried for them?
I don't know that he's
8 years ago.
But I do think if they ever get it all back together, they probably won't be as good as they were last year, but they'll probably still be the best team in the West outside of the Warriors.
Yeah.
All right, Sam. So last night, ESPN threw a graphic up on the television saying who the potential free agents were in this upcoming class. And they had Anthony Davis and Kyrie and Kawhi Leonard and Klay and Durant. And because of Boogie's return, I do feel like it's kind of minimized the talk around Durant's impending free agency. Do you think that will continue to kind of go under the radar? Or do you think that's going to simmer back up here? Because after the Draymond situation, things have kind of quieted down. They've righted the ship with seven straight. And I really haven't heard anything about the offseason, which we're all kind of looming over this regular season. Where do you think that plays back in again?
I mean, you and I both know in, let's say, a month, some stories in a week about him wanting to go to New York. Yep. And it's going to heat back up again, just kind of how it goes. Right now, everyone's talking about Kyrie and Anthony Davis. At some point, that's going to get tired, and we're going to start talking about KD again. I don't know. I think it's looming over them. Everyone knows he's not 100% committed. I mean, literally, his contract is up at the end of the year. So until he signs and commits to the Warriors, it's always going to be a question. He's not Klay, who's kind of let it be known, all things equal, he's come back to the Warriors. There is a little speculation there, so I don't know. I think it's going to ebb and flow, but it seems like if they're rolling like this, no one's going to write the story or talk about it, because why would you? I feel like it's one of those things that comes out every time, you know, the Warriors play three bad games, let's say lose two out of three or something like that.
Yeah, it's like it's almost part of the conspiracy theories that start to come out of the woodwork when things start to look anything other than perfect.
The frozen envelope happened in 85. Right. Don't come on to me on
somehow
this.
We literally did start to have that debate before we went on the air today.
Ewing,
so let's
should
try.
Have been ours.
We're going to try not to drag it into Sam, we don't need to waste your time with a Patrick Ewing frozen envelope debate. We very much appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Sam.
That is Sam Esfandiari. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Esfandiari. Read his work at Warriors World. Hear his work at the Light Years podcast.
All right, Matt, the nicknames are flowing in.
I know. The Boogie Monster is where that Boogeyman text was going. I think maybe
like
Boogie Mond was supposed to be like Boogeyman.
Yeah.
Producer Gabe added the stir to it, really rounded, really tied the room together, so to speak. The Boogie Monster.
Okay.
I kind of like that.
I'm thinking more of like how I can post a meme on Facebook and Insta and Twitter. So we're going to go with what Jason Ramirez has texted in. It is the X-Men, right? That's the color scheme for the Warriors.
Okay.
But instead, maybe we call them the Dub Men or the Tech Men.
Just those two, though.
Yes, just those two.
The Tech Men, and then it's like a big... The logo instead of an X is referee's arms
exactly.
Making a T.
Or it could be palms up. You know, the Iguodala. How dare you call that foul on
me? The shrug.
Yeah.
I like the shrug.
Here's another one.
By the way.
Bully ball.
I like bully ball. That's a little too easy.
How about bully boys? Okay. I'm reaching.
Bully boys feel soft, strangely.
Does it?
To me.
Okay.
I don't know. Thanks to Cody in LA for fact checking. Vincent Vega, our man in Amsterdam. Jules Winfield, our man in Englewood. Thank you very much. We also got a Don't Jimmy Me Jules text. Don't Jimmy Me Jules. Venom and Carnage.
Ooh.
for the comic book.
I like that
idea.
Yeah.
Bebop and Rocksteady. Funny. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too cartoony. I liked, this is not specific to Boogie and Draymond, but I quite enjoyed Grandmaster Kerr and the Furious Five.
That's good. That's
very,
very
solid.
Good. Very good.
Very, very solid. 415 texter, I hope they don't become tech support. That was a very good one. Gene in Oakland wanted to weigh in on the idea of potentially acquiring another big man for insurance. What's up, Gene?
Hey, fellas. First of all, shout out to Sam and his dad, Ross, who's probably listening. I've known Ross for about 30 years now. We're old friends and professional colleagues.
Great. Shout out
anyway,
to Ross.
So, you know, I like one thing in particular that Sam said, the idea of still going after Robin Lopez or someone like that, if they can get him cheaply enough, because I really think they do need that insurance. We don't know what Boogie's, you know, how strong or healthy or durable he's going to be the rest of the year, and, you know, excellent chance he's not going to be around after this year. So, you know, and we don't know. Well, Jones is probably going to be fine because it was a shoulder injury and not a leg injury or Achilles or anything like that. But
second torn pectoral, though. And I hear what you're saying, Gene. I don't think cost is the issue. I think Robin Lopez wants to be here based on all the reporting I've seen. So I think you'd be able to sign him for a veteran minimum. The question is, will the Bulls release him?
Yeah, and I want to assume that Boogie is going to be healthy and active and ready to go. But as we saw last night, when you're given the full Boogie effect, he fouls out. He gets a lot of whistles.
I know
the refereeing was bad.
There were a couple tough ones last night.
I agree, especially the offensive fouls when he got tangled up with Gortat early.
That was bad. There was his second foul was one of the worst foul calls I've ever seen.
Garbage.
There were some really bad ones, but...
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you still might need a big just to give me six fouls.
And for those of you who have not watched all of DeMarcus Cousins' career, he tends to get a tough whistle.
Yeah, he does.
So, you know, there are reasons for that. I'm not saying they're defensible or right, but he tends to get a tough whistle. So, yes, he can foul out, and especially when, as we've said, his athleticism is not peak.
Yeah.
He's chasing the play a lot on defense. He did commit a few fouls because he couldn't move his feet in time, and that's fine.
What's a bigger need for you? Wing or the backup? A backup wing or a backup big man?
I love the wings they have. So for me, honestly, it's a backup plan because I think they're fine. Obviously, they're fine. I think they're set. If Boogie's healthy and Looney's healthy, do you want to play a center for more than 40 minutes a game? 25 Boogie, 15 Looney, that's about what I want. And then 8 of Draymond or you know, Jordan Bell maybe occasionally sneaking in there. So I don't need that unless someone gets hurt. I will say, if it's Robin Lopez, he's basically a bigger, older, more experienced Kevon Looney.
That's a good call.
So that's, I mean, that's what you want.
That's a good call.
And he is as good a passer as DeMarcus, certainly as good, if not better than Looney. He can knock down a jump hook if you want him to, but mostly he's going to work his butt off. He's going to rebound. He's going to defend. He's going to be in the right places.
Real quick, risk analysis. Who is more likely to not finish the season healthy? Livingston, Iguodala, Boogie?
I think Boogie, just because coming back from this sort of injury, there's more potential pitfalls. When you ask about Livingston and Iguodala, you're really just like, is one of these old guys going to trip and hurt himself?
Yeah. That's probably not fair on my behalf, but I'm just saying.
No, I mean, you're right, but Boogie, there's an actual issue, whereas those guys, it's just maintaining a body that's approximately our collective.
Yeah.
Our age.
Sore when I wake up.
We can both speak to the difficulty of keep the nicknames coming. Good nicknames for Boogie and Draymond, the new front court tandem that the Warriors are rocking with, and we will continue to react to how Boogie looked, and is this the final version of this year's Golden State Warriors, plus football playoffs? Robert Mays joins us in about 40 minutes, and we'll get into Championship Sunday as well. I'm Matt Kolsky. He is the Butcher Boy. It's the Ski Team on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Kolsky and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
It's a new feeling. It doesn't feel like a normal return from break, but we are back. I'm Matt Kolsky. He's Joe Shasky. Robert Mays joins us in about 30 minutes to get into Championship Sunday coming up tomorrow. Gridiron Gala, Hooters, Campbell. Be there, be square. You going to be there?
I'm 50-50. I'm going to be honest.
I'll be there. Bring in the lady. She loves Hooters. That's not true. She's a pescatarian and a woman. She does not love Hooters.
My wife is a pescatarian as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's healthy or something. I don't know. Yeah. I had meatballs breakfast today. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah, I had a sandwich.
Deep dish pizza and meatballs for breakfast this morning. That's how I like to live. So we'll get to the football stuff in just a minute, but finishing up some of these nicknames for the DeMarcus Cousins, Draymond Green, front court. A lot of Monstars connected suggestions. We got Blues Brothers.
I like that one.
Last segment, which was clever, but a 310 texter pointing out, how did someone go with Blues Brothers and not switch it over to Bruise Brothers?
I think that's our best one thus far.
Bruise Brothers.
We're on a mission from God.
I kind of like it.
I like it a lot, too. My suggestion, I'm going with tag teams, WWE style. I like the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah, you've just been over there looking at past tag team names from WWE. Yeah.
Brothers of Destruction.
I think you went back to WWF, actually,
yes,
with a lot of those. And, just grafting them onto Boogie and Draymond. Some good ones, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Colossal Connection.
That's pretty good.
I like that
Although Draymond, not really colossal necessarily. Colossal in stature, not in size.
Demeanor toward referees.
Colossal in demeanor.
Yeah.
It does feel like the nickname should involve something that includes the referee stuff.
Yes.
Because they really, I mean, I'll defend both of these dudes to the end of time for having emotional reactions on the floor. I got no problem with it. Totally in on it. But it's real. They do. They both are yelling all the time.
Yeah. And the fact that Draymond had Boogie's back last night was like, duh. Like, it was so... That's why I say WWE, because it so reminded me of the guy in the corner having his guys back, and it was just... It was right out of the script, man. Vince McMahon couldn't have penciled it any better. You get a dunk from Boogie as his first official Warrior basket, and then... You know, Draymond gets a technical trying to support Boogie Cousins.
It's great stuff, man. It's only going to get better. I am very, very excited to be watching it.
And he fouled out. I mean, we got the full experience. Passes. We got him getting offensive rebounds. We got a putback jam. We got a little bit of everything. He hit threes. I mean, that was the full Boogie experience. And we got palms up right away. On the offensive foul, he did palms up. He went straight to the referee. He's arguing. And I'm like, I'm here for all of this the rest of the way.
Oh, I like this text. 510. He knows the system. He can shoot. And he's got those six big man fouls we need night in and night out. And you know what? Hopefully, here's a great Kevin Durant cut on this. Because somebody asked Kevin Durant, hey, I thought it looked pretty exciting out there. You know, the man fouled out, and you guys gave him a standing ovation on the bench.
Hopefully that's the last time we give him a standing no after he fouls out. But it was great to see him out there. I know that feeling of coming back from injury. His was a year later, so I was out for 3 months, and I was like, man, this is so exciting. So a year, I know it was even better for him to get back out there. When you injured and you rehabbing every day, you away from the team while we practicing, he in the weight room, and it's just a weird vibe, and I'm glad he's a part of the team now.
I think that's one of the underrated things, actually, and I shoehorned this in by starting with the link to the beginning of Kevin Durant's comments. He did foul out. I'm not worried about that, because, again, his feet are a little slow, and frankly, he played 16 minutes. If he fouls out in 20 minutes, it's about what he's going to play anyway.
Exactly.
I'm not worried about that. He can... To that texter's point, he can go out and commit those fouls. Most of the guys he's fouling are not good free throw shooters. I'm fine with that. And I think, obviously, in game one, they were fine with it. It didn't matter. They ended up cruising to an easy victory, even though he was out of the game for most of the fourth quarter. But that aspect Durant gets to on the second half of that quote, that... Yeah, he's been on the team, and he's been on the bench for most of the games, and he's been in the locker room, and he's been at practice, but rehabbing guys aren't on the floor for practice, aren't in the weight room at the same time necessarily, aren't just on that game day schedule in the same way. And, you know, Steve Kerr also talked about the vibe around Boogie, and I thought, let me play it real quick.
They all love him. He's a really good teammate. He's an emotional guy. He's loved because he cares about us. He's hilarious. He's just one of the guys. And so that was the one bright spot of the first half of the season. Even though he didn't play, he was around our guys and they got to know him. And you could see how important that was during the second half when he was making those shots. Just how happy everybody was for him.
And it's that combined with he has been the man apart to a degree. This is the run right now. I wouldn't be surprised if 7 becomes 15
in a row games.
Yeah.
Do you put any credence to the fact that, you know, all offseason, you and I, other hosts here at this station, people on television, national media, you know, how are the Warriors going to infuse some joy into the regular season? How is this run going to be different? How do they go up against the monotony and the rigors of trying to outdo themselves year after year after year? Well, when you add in an element like DeMarcus Cousins, this is all new to him. And I think that layer of excitement and trying to mesh and make it all work and fit, I think that in itself kind of makes them a little more refocused. And not that they're going to give the 73-win effort, you know, like that one season. I'm just saying, like, I think it adds a layer of freshness and newness to keep them on their toes and to give them something to kind of work on throughout the regular season as we build up to the postseason.
Yeah, I like that. This team has sort of shown us it kind of needs things,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And to the point we discussed with Sam, it's like when they play well and things are going well, we don't hear about Kevin Durant's offseason concerns, right? Mm-mm. By the same token, when they've got sort of a thing to do. Well, we're working in Boogie. We're doing this thing. We hear less about the malaise of the grind, of the day-to-day, oh, it's another regular season game, because it's like, oh, well, we're working on some stuff. Yeah. We got to do this. We got to get this done. I feel like, well, like anyone, right? It's like good to have tasks. It's a good thing. Before we switch over to football, let's take a couple last calls here. Joey has a good nickname idea for the Draymond Boogie combo. What's up, Joey?
Yeah, I was thinking that the way everybody looks at LeBron James as King James, and it is a game, so if we put them both together, if we're thinking of movies, why don't we call, instead of Game of Thrones, how about we call it King of Thrones? Because all five of these guys are superstars. They're far better than LeBron in every category, in my opinion. So I just thought I'd throw that one out there. Call him King of Thrones.
The entire team as King of Thrones.
No, I'd rather just identify different characters for each particular person on the Warriors. So, for example, Boogie would be the mountain. Yeah, see, you're thinking just like me. Yeah. You're thinking just like me.
I need an Oberyn Martell. Who's Oberyn Martell? Help me out. Help me out, Game of Thrones fans. I apologize. I've taken us down a weird road. Let's get off this. Cockroach in Oakland wants to give some thoughts on
who's
Boogie's
Joffrey?
Debut. Who's dead? All right, Cockroach, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? I actually wanted to chime in and give a couple of neutral nicknames for DeMarcus and Draymond.
Okay.
They turned out to be so well. Are you guys familiar with the Ice Cube Friday movie?
Of course.
Yes.
I was thinking Debo and Damon, since they always getting into it with everybody and trying to take over. So I'm thinking Debo and Damon.
Tuck your chain. Debo's coming.
Brother.
Tuck your chain. I love that.
That's my bike, fool.
I saw that in the movie theater in eighth grade. That was
great
one of my
film.
Oh, my God.
Classic film. Was that it, Cockroach?
All I got.
I love
Thank
that.
Thank you, sir. That's very strong.
I wish Chris Tucker would have made a return to the franchise. It really, him and, was it Mike Epps who was Day-Day?
Yeah, but let me just ask you this.
In later versions.
Let me just ask you this, though. What did Chris Tucker help after that time? I'm saying, after the time where he was no longer in the Friday movies,
that's true.
What movie was he helpful to?
None. The Rush Hour 8?
I think Rush Hour 1 was before that. Right?
Was it?
I don't know. We'd have to go back
and check.
Jackie
Chan.
In any event, since Rush Hour 1, it's been a rough ride for our friend Chris Tucker.
Absolutely.
A rough ride.
Smokey, though, was one of the greats.
650, McCaw's Joffrey.
Wow.
Oh, man.
No comment.
That's dark.
That is dark.
That is dark. That's a lit text.
Wow. There's layers on that comment.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.